Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Mouth, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 90s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Today we're going to talk about getting in touch with your past lives and trying to have a communion with them. And a major prerequisite about this show has a lot to do with believing in reincarnation, or somehow at least opening your mind up to the possibilities. I'm not trying to tell you that reincarnation is a fact. However, I will tell you this, that there are people, and I am one of them, who had distinct adult mature memories when we were children. In other words, when I was 2 and 3 years old, I had distinct memories of lives prior to this one. In other words, I had information in my mind, in my brain, that was not put there when I was 1 or 2 years old. It was totally alien information. And to me, that's the best way to prove reincarnation works. If we could somehow encourage our children to get in touch with this side of our souls, then I believe that reincarnation would be an accepted science, the science of hopping from one body to another, from lifetime to lifetime. And whether or not it means that we actually have lived in a past life, or that we actually are attached to all other beings that have lived in all other past lives, which is what I firmly believe reincarnation truly is. In other words, as you move away from the self, and as you move away from individuality, and you start getting into the fact that your soul might have been alive in other bodies in other lifetimes, then you also eventually start plugging into what I feel is a metaphysical fact, that your soul is also somewhat connected to other people that were alive in other bodies in other lifetimes. And then you start plugging into your oneness. So as far as I'm concerned, reincarnation is a way to plug into the oneness, the I am, that is inside of each and every one of us. People come up to me and they say, is this person my soulmate? Or is this person my twin flame? Or have I lived with this person before? Have I known them or touched them or felt them or kissed them or married them or whatever? And my answer in a higher consciousness sense is that you are them. I think when we get in touch with individuals that we feel intimate with, that we feel close with, that we feel love for, or that we experience karma, catalyzation with, then what we're really talking about is we're talking about plugging into individuals that really are a reflection of our own true selves. Now, what I believe is going on is I do believe in reincarnation. In other words, I do believe that a soul in its individuality is definitely plugged into all souls and all bodies and all incarnations. You know, and feeling the pain and pleasure of that theory has got to be an incredible experience. But I also believe that until you are able to qualify to get into that level of oneness and eventually qualify beyond this realm, you must first pay for or answer to or qualify beyond your own individual quest, your own selfish quest, your own egotistical quest of creating materialism and power here on earth. So what I believe is that it's like a soul is part of a whole of light, of energy, all right? A soul is an orb of light, a spirit that is a part of the great spirit that somehow breaks away and breaks apart from that whole, from that star of light, and goes its separate way into a lifetime reincarnation cycle. Because in other words, a soul is allowed to break away from the whole while still being connected to it, but not quite as vividly so. And a soul is allowed to be in a quest or an adventure or in a creative quest, in a what I would call a creative process, where it somehow can separate from the whole, from the source, but still remain part of it. It's like being a terminal. So once it is separate, the price it pays for that separation is it must restore and reinstill this identity that it has, this oneness it has with the entire spirit, with the entire ball of energy. And in order to do that, then it has to go through a process, a cycle of living lives in a place like Earth over and over again until that formula becomes obvious. So the closer you get back to the light and the closer you return to the source, then the more vivid, the clearer it is, and the more sense it makes how we are all bound. Not only are we all twin flame soulmates to each other, but we are all one. So in order to get to this oneness philosophy, what happens is an individual soul, for whatever reason, eventually can plug into what we call the multidimensional self. And in the multidimensional self, which is a part of ourselves that we are not readily in touch with. For example, someone said to me that they know a person that's not in touch with their dreams. You know people that probably have never dreamed or had one or two dreams? Well, I wouldn't call that a very higher consciousness person. In other words, I feel that a person that is in touch with the fact that they have a dream state of consciousness is up a rung in the ladder away from those that don't dream. There are people out there that never dream. They get so stoned and so drunk and so wasted out and so far away from the spiritual truths of the universe that their spirit, their soul is cut off to that source of information. You hear what I'm saying here? You know, it's like when you're able to dream or even have nightmares, then that means that the veil, the cover-up is lifted. It's like blindfolds being removed, that there's something else to you than what you have when you're conscious during the day, that there's something at night that is very, very vivid. What we deal with now here is we deal with a situation that the more aware you become of other parts of yourself, like that dream state of consciousness, and like a step above that that we call a superconscious or the higher consciousness, the higher power, which is the part of ourselves that is in touch, that does remember the lifetimes this particular soul has led, and also is plugged into the whole and has memories of the connection to the whole, then there's lower parts of our consciousness that takes us farther and farther away from the light. So I believe that what Jesus Christ and the apostles and disciples of Christ tried to establish in this planet before the New Testament was even written was the metaphysical facts and truths of these elements. And for whatever reason, the message delivered from Christ and the apostles and the disciples was distorted in the Bible, and the message is not made clear that we are all these participles of life. But notice that this whole thing about Christ rising from the dead and about him one day supposedly returning, coming back, the message of coming back, of being reincarnated, is clearly left in the Bible if you read the between the lines. So this topic is dedicated to help you open your mind. It's very difficult to tell someone they're underwater if they don't know what it feels like to be underwater. And when you try and tell someone, hey, you're underwater, and that's why you're holding your breath, and that's why you don't know where the surface is, they don't want to believe you. But eventually, if they should get close to the surface or their head should pop up out of the water like a fish, you know, some fish, I believe, have a very, very intense consciousness, very high consciousness. That's why I don't eat fish or animals. But their world is a water world, and I kind of think they go into shock, and they're kind of freaked out when they're pulled out of the water. Or if some of the fish reach the surface or jump out of the water, it's almost like us launching a space shuttle. And, you know, it's almost like pioneering. They're like, whoa, there's something out here. And that's really what I feel happens when people get more light added to their soul and their consciousness. See, I believe that getting in touch or being able to have a past life regression, more than getting it from even a psychic, but creating it inside of yourself and plugging in to experiences and situations that you lived on since your soul has been away from the whole and having this adventure. And see, it all ties together because the price you pay for staying on Earth and being locked into this reincarnation cycle, coming back into different bodies, the price you pay is the karma we discussed, right? The more you take this dimension personal, the more you get into the game, the more pain and transition and rebirth you must experience. Remember that saying, kids are people too? Well, vegetarians believe that animals are people too, that people that eat animals are like cannibals. And, you know, you tell a meat eater that after they've had thousands of years of carnivorous, and don't tune out on me just now. I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings if you eat meat, because I've been there. But sometimes after thousands of years of breeding, of generations of having descendants that have been meat eaters, it's kind of tough to give it up. But if you look in the mirror, you'll notice our teeth are not like cats or even dogs. Are like Tyrannosaurus Rex teeth. Our teeth are the teeth of a vegetarian being. So part of the reason why we have violence in this planet and war and aggression and fear and anger and hostility has a lot to do with the fact that maybe a long time ago, in order for man and women to survive in this planet, there were no plants to eat, so they had to turn to eating animals. And that has a lot to do with us losing our awareness, our consciousness, our spirituality, because absorbing the animal consciousness into our bodies is karma. It cuts us off from some of the realities that exist about life and death and rebirth and reincarnation and karma. And that's why those of us that are so close to the animals have a bond or an understanding that these creatures have souls and spirit inside of them also, that they're just not paper on the wall, that they're real. Birds live a very barbaric existence, many of them. It's kill or be killed. It's survival of the fittest. I know birds. And they're loving, gentle creatures if you become friends with them. But out in the wilds and amongst themselves, there's a tremendous amount of barbarism. We're talking about tribal native customs. You know, like Africans and American Indians, that's kind of the way birds are. They'll love you and they'll be kind to you and stuff. And they might even bite you and draw blood or kill their babies or whatever. But there's a, you know, it's a whole different thing. They don't have toilet paper and television in that realm. And they don't have sunglasses and movies like we do. It's a different existence. But anyway, this whole topic, when you sit down and you start to ponder some of the possibilities that exist as far as what you might have been in past lives, the men, the women, the animals, the aliens, the numerous number of past lives. And people come to me and say, well, Farley, this is only my first life. Well, that's because you don't have the awareness to remember any of the others. When you get to the point where you start remembering and you start getting in touch with eternity, that eternity is a long, long time, and that most of you have lived Earth-type lifetimes, maybe 50 to 100 or 1,000 times, that inside of you are 50 to 100 or 1,000 people, and that if you look around at people in your life like your parents and your friends and your pets and people you work with and talk with and make love with, what you're really looking at and dealing with and living with are all the people you have been in past lives, in different roles, you know, with different identities. The names have been changed to protect the innocent, but that's what karma is all about. We put ourselves in a position to get the feeling of what it's like to be treated the way we have treated others in past lives. And basically, metaphysically, what we are given is a clear picture given to us of what we've done. Now, unless you are born on a tropical island with a few people, that even then you might say, well, they're not going to have any problems unless a tsunami or a cyclone or a hurricane comes. If you're born on Earth, then you're involved in karma, and you're darn right their first time human lives, the lower realm, the dark realm, if you've seen the movie Ghost, you know, when those black creatures come up and take the bad people away, well, they're taking them to be incarnated down to the lower realm. They're not taking them to limbo or purgatory. When the beings of light take people away, they're taking them to higher realms and back into the reincarnation flow, into the Akashic stream. A lot of the turbulence, and a lot of the nervousness, and a lot of the frustration, and the anger, and the pain that it resides inside the soul comes from the metaphysical fact of people trying to get in touch with their past lives. And people always say to me, Farley, how do I have a regression? How do I see my past lives? How do I deal with my past lives? Well, it's like I say, just look around you at the people that you're around, the people that you love, the people that hurt you, the people that you hurt. And you'll get a good idea of what your past lives look like. And people say, well, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that I was like my dad, or I don't want to hear that I was like my mom, or I don't want to hear that I was like my ex-wife or my ex-boyfriend or my ex-girlfriend or my ex-husband, or I don't want to hear that I was like my children or like my dog or like my cat. But that's the way it works. You're looking at a reflection of your past, of what's left to work out with. Astrologically, where astrology comes in, is that when we are born, the astrology chart helps design the energies that the body and the brain will be charged with at birth so that we will respond in a certain specific way to certain specific stimuli that will help produce these karmic experiences to optimum exposure until we finally get nuked enough that we realize what's going on. Now, that's the reason why Saul, you know, in the Bible, went through hell before he found Christ, because he needed to be nuked with the horror of all of his past lives in order to be shocked into finding the Spirit of God, which is, you know, the symbolism of Saul becoming St. Paul in the Bible is a very, very critical symbol for all of us to find the saintliness and the godliness and the messianic abilities inside of our own souls. Because sometimes you do have to go through pain and hardship and trials and tribulations and loss and suffering and breakup and dump it out of your life and let it go and clean it out and empty that soul bowl so the universe can deliver to you the saving grace. You would be amazed. You know, the reason why I love these purple plates is these purple plates give you a perspective oftentimes of reincarnation, of your past lives, of your karma, of what you have to do in your life to improve your life. They bring people into your life and elements into your life that give you answers, that give you keys, that show you and design for you procedures that you must take in order to have closure with certain people in your life. Closure meaning you're not able to see your parents or your friends anymore, or you're not able to work the same job. What you're doing is you're clearing your life out so you can be happier and more blissful, and certain relationships have grown old and they've worn out, and once you have the sense and the brains to realize it's not love, it's karma, and move on, that it's like there's an emptying of all the negative energy, which finally allows for a balance to occur, and positive energy, which is love, comes flowing into your life. That's why I always tell people, rejoice when you have problems, and rejoice when you're in pain, and rejoice when you break up, and rejoice when you start dumping and processing people and situations in your life, because what you're doing is you're clearing away the old to make room for some love vibrations, awareness, heightened energy, higher vibrations, higher power, and it works. It works. People that are able to face up to the truth that something in their life is karmic or worn out, people that are able to face up to the truth that a relationship they have is a lesson, it's a trial, it's not something that's meant to last forever. When you have a relationship or a friendship in your life that you know is going to be lifelong, it may be a karma. In the end, there may be pain because of someone losing their life or finally moving away or leaving you. But if the majority of that relationship is fun, if it's pleasant, if it's pleasing, then you got to pat yourself on the back and say, hey, this person might have been a karma, but along the way, we had lots of good times too. So it was like learning trials, having lessons, that at the same time having a good time, still be knowing we're in Vietnam, it's during the war, and at the same time we made some close attachments or whatever. You know, whereas other people that are obvious lessons in life, obvious karmas and obvious symbols and reflections of creatures that we have been in past lives are people that need to be blessed and set free, even close relatives in the family. It's better to say goodbye and move on with your life and become something better than to anchor yourself to a bunch of outmoded, outdated, painful, negative people and elements in your life that will just keep you from being aware of this multidimensional self I've talked about, of this dream state of consciousness, of this higher consciousness, of the lower consciousness, of the higher realms, the lower realms, and of this karma, and of everything that's going on. When I'm on the radio every day, I serve as your friendly reminder. This radio show is meant for very special people that are meant to have further contact, are already in contact with the many different reflections of the not obvious self that we call the multidimensional self. That's why we at Astrological Metaphysical Radio are into things like meditation, and we're into things like dreams, and we're into things like healing trances, and we're into things like white light and love, and we're into things like authenticity and power of the mind and power of God and messianic quality of God inside of us, because we're trying to remove this veil, remove this cover-up, climb up out of the water, shake ourselves off, dry ourselves off, and become conscious of what is real. That's the only way that you could take a person from an atheistic point of view and help them find spirit, God, love, truth. A lot of the religions on this planet, I'm a little frightened of, because religions remove this power from the people. They keep the veil on, and they tell people like sheep or like children, no offense to religion, to wait for someone to save you. Don't do it yourself, but wait, pray. Accept that there is another person out there that is the Savior, and wait for that person. And metaphysically, what we learn in the Course in Miracles and with Silver Birch is that we're Christ. We are the Savior inside of us. The symbolism of the return of Christ in the Bible, in my mind, is the Christ inside of each and every man and woman alive today. What I'm here to tell you is each person here has a Christ circuit inside of them, which is what the message that I believe, because I feel that more than accepting and embracing Jesus Christ as the Son of God, I believe that I was and still and always will be his friend. Had you ever felt like you had a friend in that person? Okay, so for that reason, what I got from him, that I am also a son of God, and you are also a son of God. In fact, we are all the children of God because we are all the terminals of light that have drifted away from the source. You see, it's very logical. After the disciples and the apostles and Christ left, their sacred work was left to the writers and the publishers, which everyone says, oh yeah, this is the gospel. Oh, this is the truth. Yeah. Did we have a TV camera or a videotape back then to confirm that this is the authentic word of God? All right, have you ever heard of the temptation or the seduction of evil? Now, who's to say what the religions on this planet are founded by? Huh? Under what guise will Satan come? Will Satan come dressed in a rabbi or a priest suit? Or is he going to come with horns and red skin? Ideally speaking, you have, in my opinion, the trickster and some of the energies that exist on this planet today that prevent us from having wholesome spiritual love and understanding restored to ourselves is what's keeping this planet from moving into the higher consciousness, the higher vibration realm. It's like, believe it or not, it is a war. It's a war of the spirit, and we're being held back. We're being prevented from going forward. It's also fascinating to me, and I love to talk about this stuff. More than astrology, I love to talk about reincarnation, metaphysics, God, karma, and philosophies of life. So if you wish to exchange with me and we can talk metaphysics on today's show, give me a call.